Well, guys, today I have a treat for you. Hey, if you've been following me for a while or following the podcast for long, then you know I love writing on a platform called Medium. And today our guest is a writer on that website, and her name is Zuli. Zuli on Medium has a following of around 12,000 people. And on YouTube, she has a following of a little over 4,000. But Zuli is not only a fantastic writer, but she loves to help people succeed on Medium and begin to tell their story. And today we're getting into that very topic. In our conversation today, we'll talk about what makes a compelling story and how everyone has a story worth sharing. I think you'll really enjoy this episode. Hey, if you like this episode of the podcast, be sure to rate and follow on iTunes or Spotify. Subscribe if you are on YouTube, or head over to our Instagram at The Story of Craft and let me know what your favorite thing about this episode was. Other than that, friends, grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and let's have a chat with our friend Zuli on the Coffee with Craft podcast.
Welcome to Coffee with Craft.
Well, hey, Zuli, thank you so much for being on the show today. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Thank you, Eric. It's really exciting to be here. It's my first podcast episode.
Yeah, that's super exciting. So, Zuli, I know who you are, and I followed you for quite some time, but I'm pretty sure that I have audience members who don't know who you are. And so if you could just let us know a little bit about yourself, I'd super appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name's Zuli. I write on Medium during the evenings, weekends, lunch breaks, whenever I can fit it in, really. My day job is in tech, and I love my cats, reading, and Sometimes exercising.
I love that. I hate cardio. Like, that's the worst form of exercise in the world to me. So that's just funny.
Yeah.
So, hey, you talk about this thing, Medium, and I know what Medium is because I write on Medium, but I was just kind of curious, what is your Medium story? What is Medium to you, and where has Medium kind of taken you over the past few years?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've always kind of wanted to be a writer. I have no writing experience whatsoever other than like everyone else writing emails. And I kind of didn't really know how to get started. And I was going to try to start a blog. And then I learned there's this thing called Medium. You don't have to worry about any of the formatting. You don't have to like have any technical know-how. You can just sit down and start writing. And that was really attractive to me, that idea that I didn't have to do anything other than write. And that's what Medium is. It's the platform that's what it's all focused on. And so I started maybe like, I think September 2018, started writing on there about mostly my cats. And then what I realized is that you don't have to stick to a niche on Medium. You can write about anything you want, anything you're interested in. You don't have to stick to like travel or cooking or anything else like traditional blogs. And so I branched out and actually started earning some money through writing on Medium and stuck to it that way.
Wow, that is super awesome. And then more recently, one of the things that I love about you is that you have a passion for helping people, especially what I would call a younger writer on the Medium platform or a newer writer on the Medium platform. And you started doing YouTube and stuff like that. So if you could just talk a little bit about your work there, I'd super appreciate that.
Yeah, so I was so fortunate at the beginning of my Medium journey that I was part of one of these Facebook groups, possibly Medium Mastermind or something like that. There are so many of them now. And I asked so many like embarrassing beginner questions, and not once was I made to feel like it was a stupid question or that I, you know, should just shut up. And I just wanted to give back to some way to the people who were at one point like me, who just needed a few questions answered and then they were good to go. And I think like everyone has a story inside of them. And if Medium is the place to do that, then that's awesome. And anything I could do to help people get on their way was awesome. So I put my email like on my Medium profile, and I was just like, if you've got any questions, reach out to me. I'd be more than happy to help. And at the beginning, I didn't get that many because my profile was fairly small. But then as I grew, I started getting more and more questions, and I wanted to help them all, but I didn't have the hours in the day. So I started making YouTube videos that would answer some of the most frequently asked questions. And I've been doing that for just over a year now, and it's turned into something really, really amazing. I get all of these fantastic questions, things that I never would have considered, that kind of prompt me to even do my own research on the platform. And I hope I've helped a lot of people sort of get their foot in the door, either get the push to start writing or understand some of the more technical things about writing on Medium, or even just like hit that publish button for the first time.
So I know that your work has helped me as a younger writer on the platform, and so I super appreciate it. So I love that phrase you just said, that you believe everyone has a story inside of them. Can you dive a little bit deeper into that?
Yeah, so I think no matter who you are, you have experienced something that makes your life meaningful in some way. Even if it's just like, I don't know, like you love your pets. That's something that's meaningful about you. And I think that the really, I don't want to get too deep here, but the really amazing thing about humans is we all have this, we can all talk, we all communicate. That's something that's really unique, that we use the spoken word and the written word, more importantly, to do that with each other. We use words to share experiences and life lessons and stories. Everyone has something like that. Not just one thing, but their whole life. We all have these stories. And I think that if we all shared our stories, we all knew how to share our stories in a way that would reach others, the world, I really believe the world would be a better place.
Yeah, that's super awesome. That's kind of one of my big things is I believe everybody has a story and that story is worth sharing. And so when I heard that, that really resonated with me because I believe there are so many people out there, the people who are your everyday average person who are just walking around life who really believe this lie that they have nothing to contribute to the world. Yeah. And that breaks my heart because I believe so many people have something impactful to say and have influence, more influence than they might realize to be able to affect change at a level that's important.
Yeah, that's so true. And I really, really love me. It doesn't have to be Medium anyway. It can be like any writing platform, but finding the words to share something that makes you unique and finding out that other people have experienced that. I don't know. That never gets old. That's always powerful to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think continuing off of that, kind of my next question for you is what from your perspective separates a story that resonates with people versus a story that really doesn't resonate with people? Because if we look even at like a platform like Medium, you can tell when a story like really resonates with people based off engagement and things of that nature and how people are interacting with it versus a story that's like, oh, this is just something you wrote and kind of threw in to the ether. And so my question is really like, what makes a story that is impactful and resonates with people from your perspective?
Yeah, you know, I have been doing a lot of thinking into that just recently, like the past few months. When I first started writing full stop, I would just like launch stories out into the void. And then I would always be surprised when people would say, oh, this is really good. Or like this really struck a chord within me. And then others would get totally passed over, wouldn't go anywhere. They wouldn't resonate with anyone. And at first I thought it was just like luck, like, you know, the algorithm happened to pick one up and more people happened to see it. And that way more people responded to it. But then looking especially at my more recent stories, I can pick out certain themes that make them, I don't know whether the stories themselves resonate more or I've written them in a way that helps them kind of reach the audience, but I've noticed it's a couple of things. So first of all, I think there's a really important distinction between originality and uniqueness. And this is kind of holistic, so bear with me here. But I think a lot of people worry that when they write something, it's not unique. Like it's not the first time it's been said. And it doesn't have to be. It just has to be original. And what I mean by that is that your perspective, your life, nobody else has lived that. Nobody else has had your stories. So even if I'm writing about, I don't know, yeah, again, to use the example, how much I love my cats, you know, those stories have already been written 10,000 times, but nobody knows how my cats have changed my life. So that's where you start with originality. Then you kind of have to broaden out and see, okay, how does my original experience, the thing that's only happened to me, how can I write that in a way that's going to make it universal? So like you can start thinking about the elements here that everyone has in them. So you're thinking like love, relationships, bonding, spending time with one another. All of that is something that everyone does, and it's important to everyone. So you try to tease out those elements that make your story not just about you, but about everyone. And then I've found that the best way to really drive the nail home in a story that resonates with other people is to kind of bring it back around and go and look for like what other people have said. So you've started with your own story that only you have. Then you've broadened it out to what other people experience. And finally, you're like, okay, what do the experts say? So for example, when I quote like literature that I've read online that I can find, you know, you just find it on Google. That can kind of explain like why people feel like that or why they're experiencing these emotions. And that really like, I think brings it back around front and center so that you're telling a story that hits every level, the like individual level, the group level, and then the expert level. Does that all make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think breaking it down within those parameters helps people to understand just a different lens of viewing a story, right? And so, that's one of the big things that I have conversations with a lot of different people right now is, for example, I have a friend of mine who called me the other day and who wanted to share a story of his, but he was concerned about how he was going to come across, or he was really concerned about this idea of like, who am I to say something? And I really got into that conversation with him. I was like, well, you're you. Like, that's who you are. Yeah. Like, no one else has your personal unique experience. No one else has had your life events or anything like that. Like, you're the person who has experienced them. So unless you tell your story, no one else is going to do that for you. And who knows who you can help, or who knows what you might say that is different from what person B might say. And so that's one of the big things for me personally right now, as I work with some friends and stuff like that, is like, I really want people to understand that idea that no matter what you do, or no matter what story you're telling, you bring your own personal perspective into it. So I love that you hit on that.
Yeah. I get that question a lot. It's like, am I allowed to write about, I don't know, pick whatever topic you like finance. I don't have a degree in finance. I've only ever done, you know, X life experience. And I'm like, you don't need a degree in finance or anything else to be qualified to write about it. You just have to say upfront, this is who I am. This is why I care about this topic. And this is why you're going to be hearing from me today on it. And that's all you need to reach your readers in a way that's not like arrogant. You're coming across really humble, or not even humble, but like you're coming across in a way that explains to them, yeah, why you're the one telling the story. And I think people get hung up on the idea of formal qualifications needed for writing. And you just don't. You just need to have experienced something. And that's it. That's like the one qualification you need.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it goes back to that authenticity factor, right? Of when you are presenting a story, there could be for finance, for example, like you brought up, there could be this very innate thing to want to elevate my status as I write about that, to being like, well, I've done all this stuff, so this is why you should listen to me. Instead of going to that perspective of like, listen, I've experienced this and I want to write from that experience, because the thing I'm learning is that I think people resonate more with experience than they do your qualifications.
Yeah, for sure. Like, you can study something for 10 years and still not be able to tell your stories in a way that reaches people, because you only have looked at it through books instead of like actually living that life and having those feelings and going through those experiences. So yeah, that definitely makes sense to me.
Yeah, absolutely. So, hey, kind of continuing on in our conversation here, what's your advice, or what's your encouragement to somebody who is looking to start telling their story in the format of written word?
That's a good question. I have a lot of thoughts. Let me see if I can condense them into a way that makes sense. Okay, so I think first of all, the most important thing is that you're not going to be perfect at your first go round. Like, I struggled with this a lot. I would sit down and I'd write drafts and I'd read them. And then, you know, I'd go and read a story by somebody else and I'd be like, oh my God, my story is nowhere near as good as theirs is. I'm never going to be that good. What's even the point? You just have to get good at hitting the publish button. And it's going to be times when you write something and you realize, like, you know, 10 minutes too late that you have a typo in the first paragraph, or that the way you're telling the story doesn't make sense. You've told the events in the wrong order. It's going to happen. And it still happens to me even now, but That's not what telling your story is about. That's like just a hurdle to overcome, the fear that you're not going to be perfect. I'll tell you right now, you won't. I'm not. Nobody is. You just have to get better at being okay with putting imperfect work out there. Secondly, I would say read as much as you can. I personally struggled with this again because I almost didn't want to read the successful stories of other people because I would think, oh, I'll just get jealous of that, or you know, I'll only start thinking the way they do. But by reading, by consuming the written word in as many different formats as you can. I mean, it can be Twitter, it can be self-help books, it can be stories on Medium or any other blog. The more you read and the more diverse your sources are, the stronger you're going to be at creating stories, at like translating your own life experiences into the written word. Like or even just getting ideas for where you want to go with your stories. And I think third, try to find a network of, it doesn't have to be writers, but people who are going to support you. So like I mentioned earlier on, when I was first writing at all and on Medium, I was lucky enough to kind of fall into this group on Facebook that was so supportive. Writing is hard. It's really hard. There are going to be days that you write what you think is a masterpiece and you're going to put it out there and it's going to get crickets and you're going to feel crushed, or you're going to really struggle to come up with ideas, or you're going to think, I can't type another word. Do I really want to do this? And those are the times that you need the people around you who are like, yes, you can do this. There's a reason you want to do this. You have stories inside of you that matter. And it's helpful if they're other writers because they'll understand better what you're going through, but it can just be your family members or your friends. Tell people what you're trying to do and they'll be able to help you. And secondly, within that kind of point, is share your stories with them before you've published them. Read your stories to them, and just having a second pair of ears or pair of eyes will help tighten your stories up. And if you're wondering like what's the fastest way to improve, it's just that, sharing stories within your network.
Wow, that is so, that's a lot of stuff there. That was really, really good. Two things that I loved you said right off the beginning was you're not going to be perfect, and to be good at hitting that publish button, because I think so much of what you said is true, is that there's this lie of perfectionism that people tend to really believe that unless I put something out that is perfect, nobody is going to like it, nobody is going to love it, and nobody is going to read it. And I think back to, probably some of the great works of literature, and like how, like there's probably those writers who put out some of the greatest things in history probably wanted those things to be fixed even after they put it out, you know? There, and I think that's a challenge I think all creatives fall into. Recently for my job, we are recording a lot of stuff to put out online content, more so than we ever have before. And I'm seeing people who used to be okay with like, you know, the first thing they would do would be great and was fine. Now going, hey, can I record like 8 times because I didn't like what I said there and I didn't like how I did it the third time. I'm starting to see that perfectionism habit draw into. And so I think it's really interesting that you brought that up, because it's so important to be okay with imperfect work, because we're imperfect people, right? Like no human is like going to get everything 100% right. And so be okay with things that are imperfect, because that even just shows like your humanity in the thing you're creating.
Yeah. And I think like, especially on the internet, I think there's a fear of if you put something imperfect, you know, it's going to be out there forever. People will always be able to find it. And I love looking at the first story I ever wrote. I love looking at it, even though it's bad and I had no idea what I was doing and like it didn't go anywhere. Nobody really liked it, but I love looking at it because it reminds me of how far I've come. And even though today I still write stuff that's, you know, not perfect, I can look back at that one story and be like, wow, the fact that I hate that so much, that one story, it looks so bad to me now. That means that I've improved so much just writing all the time over the past nearly 2 years now, that I have the sense that I can go back to my older work and be like, oof, that could have been a lot better. Because I think, I don't know, one of my favorite authors on Medium is called Sean Kiernan. And I was talking to him recently and he said, yeah, with writing, it's hard to tell if you're getting better. It's not like weightlifting where you're like, oh, I can suddenly lift twice as much weight. It's much harder to tell if you're improving at writing. And one of the best ways to do it is to go back to your old work and look at it and say like, oh, yeah, that could have been, I could have done that so much better. And you can do it better now. And that's the good thing.
Yeah, that's such good stuff. Hey, you also brought up that you read. I love that. Who are you reading? Who are the people that you look to both on Medium and maybe even outside of Medium to learn from and grow from?
On Medium, two of my favorite authors are John Gorman and Dan Moore, and they write the most beautiful prose that I've ever seen in like a story essay format. The way that they tell stories, even commonplace stories, even stories that, you know, we've all experienced, is just a step above. I don't know how they put the words in the order that they do. I don't know how long it takes them to create it, but it is art for me to see how they've turned stories into like this performance that when I read it, I feel like I'm looking into their soul. And then one of my other favorite Medium authors is called Shannon Ashley. The reason I like her so much is because she puts all of her emotions, all of her mistakes, all of her vulnerability out on the line and into her essays. So on Medium especially, and I think kind of in the blogosphere in general, there's a lot of people who write about, oh, you know, like how to be successful, like 4 steps to wake up at 4 a.m. or, you know, things like that. And it's easy to forget that you don't have to write that. You can be vulnerable. And if you share your mistakes and if you share these mess ups that you've had and the way that you've struggled, that's going to reach readers more than if you're just like, oh yeah, this is how I'm perfect. Like nobody likes those kinds of stories, but there are so many of them in writing that it's hard to forget. So that's on Medium. And then in my written book life, I like to read mostly fantasy. So N.K. Jemisin is probably my all-time fave, but I like Nnedi Okorafor. Right now I'm reading something by Isabel Allende, who's a Chilean author, I believe. It's nice to get away from nonfiction, which is like pretty much all I consume on Medium. So it's good to get a change and kind of look into different worlds for a bit.
No, yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. Yeah. Shannon Ashley, I feel like if you write on Medium, you've heard of her, no matter what, because she seems like she's everywhere.
She's fantastic. Yeah.
And she's definitely someone I would describe as probably one of the more prolific writers out there, that I've seen mm-hmm. recently, because you're right about the way she tells a story so raw and with like yeah. such emotion. And sometimes with no resolution. Like I get to the end of her stories yeah. and I'm like, there's no resolution. but I love that because it proves and it shows that the human experience in life is not something that you can tie up with a pretty bow at the end of the day, but it's something that you're even still experiencing. And so what yeah. I love about her is that she's really proven and shown, kind of like you were saying, that you don't have to be like one of those writers who is like a 3 steps to this kind of writer. You can be somebody who really draws from just that personal story and experience, and people will resonate mm-hmm. with it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause that's one of like, once again, like that's just my big thing is that I think everybody should share that story that's on their heart or share their life in some way, because who knows who you can help and who you can influence when you just start sharing.
Yeah, sorry. I was talking to just the other day, I was talking to someone who was like, I've totally changed my life. I am now so much happier than I was before, but I made so many mistakes on the way to get there that I feel like if I tell my story, it's going to feel like nobody should believe me because I made so many mistakes. And I'm like, that makes you the most qualified person to tell this story because you've made all those mistakes and you've seen their resolution and now you're happier. You know, you've found out what you really want and you're chasing that. I don't know. I don't think that mistakes invalidate us or means that nobody should listen to what we have to say. I think the opposite. The more mistakes you've made, the more you've learned, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I love it. So, Zuli, hey, I want to say thank you because I've really, really enjoyed this conversation. And I'm sure we could talk probably for hours about this kind of stuff. But I want to be respectful of your time and respectful of the fact that you even came on the show today. And so just any last thoughts or ideas that you want to share with our friends at the table today?
Yeah, I just want to say if you have ever, even if you've never written a word in your life, you have a story inside of you. And if any of this is making you feel like you want to share that story, listen to that feeling and get to a keyboard, a notebook, anywhere, and tell your story, because chances are there's somebody out there who could benefit from reading it.
Man, that's so good. And Zuli, if people want to find you online, where can they find you? Obviously Medium, but where else?
You can find me on Medium. I make YouTube videos. I'll have to send you the link to my channel. You can, if you just Google Zuli Rain, you'll find me. And I also have a newsletter. So if you go to ZuliWrites.com and then scroll down, you'll see where to sign up for that.
Awesome. So great. Well, Zuli, thank you once again for being on the show. I super appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much, Eric. This has been really fun.
Awesome. And thank you guys who are joining us at the table. As always, we will see you next time on the Coffee with Craft podcast.